Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the conference call for analysts and investors of MRV for the earnings of the second quarter of 2020. Rafael Menin and Eduardo Fischer, the executive CFO and IRO, Ricardo Paixão. We inform that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the presentation of the company. After that, we'll start the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. Should you need any assistance during this call, please request the help from the operator by pressing star zero. Now, I would like to hand the floor over to the President, the CEO, Rafael Menin. Please, you may continue. Good morning, everyone. Thank you again for attending this call. Well, let's start talking about our sales in the second quarter. We are quite pleased with the performance of the company. We had a second quarter way up compared to what we thought about in the beginning of the pandemic. It's record sales despite this very difficult period with all stores closed. So this is an indicator that deserves our attention. Our digital platform was scaled quickly as a result of the investment we've been doing for a long time. And so in this year of 2020, we're going to allot R$100 million to this digital agenda. This is something we're strongly focused on, and in the next quarters, we'll deliver quite innovative solutions for our customers. The second highlight is the cash generation. We've generated R$215 million, going back to our historical levels. The transfer system was interrupted several times since the beginning of last year, and the second quarter, transfers went back to their regular levels. Caixa Bank made several important changes that expedited the system, especially in this moment with the restriction of movements. And we expected this model to continue in terms of cash generation volume from now on, since we don't see for the third quarter any restrictions to transfers. The third point that's very important, as we mentioned in the release, it talks about the multi-funding platform. MRV is currently seen today as a company that has a national operation. We are operating all over the country. We've been operating with very high levels for a long time, 40,000 units produced for many years now. So what's going on now? It's the increase of our operation outside My House, My Life, MCMV market. So if you annualize the volume, so that's almost R$1 billion, which is a significant figure. It is a big company outside the My House, My Life market, MCMV. We continue to bet on the economic and the growth and this segment outside My House, My Life. It's the customers with slightly more income than MCMV. We see a very favorable market for that, and interest rate is the main driver for that. Interest went from 12%, 9%, now it's 7.5% per year, the interest rate. And when you look at the longer curves in Brazil, we believe the interest rates will drop to 7 to 6.5, plus TR is now zero. So this segment will improve even more. This is something we're really confident. Luggo is a company that's growing fast. Today, we have eight developments in construction or whose construction is starting the next month. So we expect to sell maybe twice as much as we have sowed in the first tranche for the real estate fund. So it will be a business division that will escalate year on year. Also, HS is another company that we strongly believe in. The US market is a gigantic market, very mature. So HS has a special operation in very important markets. It's verticalized. Today, we have six developments that are either stable or in their final stabilization stages, and they are already open for sale. So soon we may have a very positive surprise coming from HS. So it's also important to understand that MRV has a single solution multi-funding, not only operating in Brazil, but as well as in the US market. So we have a dispersion geographically in terms of products. Urba is also a company we strongly believe in. It's a company that has gone through important changes recently. It's very mature now. Its land bank is growing and a significant one. And we have developments planned with a very affordable price, with a quality of life that's unique to the Brazilian market. So this is a company that's worth looking at. It's a company that will grow and escalate its growth strongly. And it will have a key role in the projected growth of MRV. I also like to highlight the social role of the company. We've been investing more and more in social responsibility. This is a very important agenda, especially in a country with so many inequalities, such as Brazil. It's a company that's aware of its importance to encourage other companies in our segment, in our industry, so they can follow a similar agenda. So the entire group of MRV, we have donated almost 20 million reais since the beginning of the pandemic. And this is very important, and it will be increasingly important for companies to do their share for the benefit of society as a whole. Now I will hand the floor over to Ricardo Paixão, and he will talk about the main figures of the company this quarter. Thank you, Rafael. Thank you all. Now moving on to the figures and financial highlights, I would like to say that the production and the record sales, 38% growth when compared to the same period last year, has resulted in a revenue Net revenue 1.6 billion, with we plan to grow even more in the second quarter with the higher revenues. The gross margin stayed within what was expected, with a slight improve, 28.4%. Now in the lower line, when we look at the expenses, we have a dilution of G&A over volume of 6.2% to 5.6% in the second quarter, but commercial expenses over net sales were in line with 2 percentage points better than last year. Financial results was 15 million reais lower than the when the on a quarterly basis, because we had to reinforce our cash due to the COVID, and also a significant drop in the revenues because the IPCA inflation rate was much lower in this period. The net income was 124 million, and it would be 131 if it weren't for the if it wasn't for the donations that Rafael mentioned. Now, going over the financial statements, we have a strong position, 2.5 billion. Also, cash generation, 215 million reais. Our leverage closed the period at below 20% over net debt over PL, which improved our position. July has been a strong month, both in sales and in transfer, so supporting our cash generation expectations. Lupa and HS. Luggo has in construction 320 million reais. in VGV, in assets that are stable or are being stabilized in HS. So now we can go on to the Q&A session. Thank you. We'll now start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star one. Our first question comes from Pedro Reginald from Bradesco BBI. Good morning, and thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. As you've mentioned, in this migration of the city administration and people to home office, there is a decrease in the administration process. I would like to understand whether the plans are taking longer than projects are taking longer to be approved, right? Longer than usual. And also, I believe you've gradually reducing the discounts, but I would like to understand until when do you want to keep this strategy to have a positive prospects for sales? Hello, Pedro. This is Fischer speaking. Let's start with the first question regarding the approval of projects. Actually, we felt that it was the second quarter was a bit more difficult. The process was difficult. The notary public offices and the city administrations were either closed or slow, working very slowly due to the pandemic. What we see now in the third quarter, we see a much better scenario. Some of them are operating normally, others are in a much more positive scenario than the second quarter, which allows us to look at the second half of the year with a much higher level of launches when compared to the first half of the year. We traditionally launch more in the second half of the year, so this trend will be maintained. I believe that once things are not back to normal yet, but they're much better than the first quarter. I believe until the end of the year, they will begin to increasingly go back to normal. The third quarter will have a growth in sales, and the fourth quarter even greater, as it is a tradition for us. We've been more aggressive in sales in the second quarter due to the pandemic. Rafael said, well, that we're able to reach a level of sales of a supply that's very high. We are doing things much faster now, and the cycle is growing faster, going faster. So we see for this third quarter, is the gradual discussion of discounts we were providing is not at the same level as the pre-COVID. Our strategy is to maintain a high sales over supply. So we decrease a bit the discounts. We're working to grant credits pro soluto to reduce the portfolio granted. So we are making these two efforts to resume the other prices and increase our portfolio. So this is our strategy to maintain a high sales of a supply. And the third quarter starts at a level that's similar to what we saw in the second quarter. So we're confident that with that, we'll be able to maintain sales level much higher, and we'll lead MRV to increase the market share. We saw that our market share has grown in some cities, and we want to maintain our sales, sustaining higher market share. Thank you. This is very clear. Thank you for the answers. Elvis Credendio would like to ask a question. Good morning, Rafael, Fischer, and Ricardo. I have two questions. First, about production. You mentioned that some construction works have been postponed for the next quarter. I would like to understand, is there an impact on the gross margin since some projects were stopped for a period or interrupted? And if there is an impact, How would that relate to your consolidated gross margin? I would like to understand. Do you think it's 28? Should we expect that level, or will it change? The second question, we're looking at the trade receivables. If you could talk about more in detail about that, it would be nice. Thank you. Good morning, this is Ricardo speaking. Now, starting with production. Actually, our construction works were stopped almost 20%. We reached 20% at a certain period, and then with time that has been gradually reduced. The impact on the gross margin is what you see now. We don't have any other corrections or increasing costs looking towards the future because all the corrections have been made already. So looking in the short run, we see gross margin around 28, 28 and a half. That's what we present now. And the recovery of the gross margin that we expected for this year due to the COVID and the discounts we are giving to customers, that has been postponed to next year. As for provisions or allowances, what we see is that default rate that we saw in the months of May and June and July has been very similar to the behavior pre-COVID. So the corrections we had to make in the provisions, in the first quarter, we had to make a correction in the criteria. The criterion remained the same. So the level that we see now is just a natural organic growth without any change in the criteria. Okay, that's very clear. Thank you. Our next question comes from Jorel Guilloty from Morgan Stanley. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. I would like to ask about the gross margin. How do you see the gross margin in the future? Do you think it will increase since you will reduce the discounts to sell apartments? Clearly, now you are at the low level, 28%, but what do you see towards the end of next year in terms of gross margin and how it would grow? The second question is about inventory. I believe it's now at 800 million. I would like to understand whether you are comfortable with this inventory level, or do you believe that sales may continue to grow given the demand you're seeing now? Thank you. Good morning, this is Rafael Menin speaking. Well, about the gross margin, is like Ricardo has said, the gross margin this year will move sideways, meaning we won't expect any significant change in the gross margin. It will be around 28.5, and we'll work strongly so that next year, more towards the end of next year, for that to recover at 300 base points in the gross margin. Of course, it is a future consideration. We cannot make a statement towards that, but we want to get back to our historical margin in the last 3 years. We believe that is possible. And the increase in the SBPE, this credit line, this facility has a gross margin that's better than MCMV market, which will play an important growth. We have an important role to increase our margin, but we shouldn't expect this gross margin to increase a lot in the first quarter, in the next quarter. We believe that next year the economy will be healthier with a reduction of unemployment, the growth in the economy. So we believe we can increase our prices a little bit more. So this is the target for the end of next year. In terms of inventory, we remain at a very good level of sales. July has been the best month so far in terms of sales. August has started very well. And this will be our policy for 2020 to remain aggressive in terms of sales. But I think that this is not a factor that justifies the strong increase in the margin. Our digital platform has played a very significant role. The reputation of the brand, and our customers are looking for companies that have a good reputation in the market, that have modern quality products, that deliver their products, and that makes a difference. We see the level of demand that has increased in recent months strongly. So we expect a high volume of sales in coming months. And an important point is the recovery of launches. Now, the notary public offices and city administrations are starting to open and operate again, not as pre-pandemic, but better than the months of March, April, and May that had been very critical for public facilities. And so this will increase as the public authorities resume their regular operations. And maybe in the second quarter, it will be slightly below the volume sold. Thank you. Okay, thank you. The next question comes from Gabriel Gasparetti from Credit Suisse. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. I have two questions. First, I would like to understand the competitive side. You mentioned these market share gain. Are there new entrants or maybe people that are already competitors, but they want to grow? And the second question is to understand other initiatives to improve the gross margin. But I would like to understand that maybe you see an opportunity to accelerate the production cycle or maybe leverage trade receivables. What are the ways that the company sees to improve this ratio? Thank you. Gasparetti, this is Fischer speaking. Good morning. In the competition, as I said previously, what we see lately, we saw growing competition, especially in the larger cities, in the capitals of the states. In the past, that's what we saw. But also more competition coming from smaller players, especially in small towns and medium-sized towns. In the last 3 months, the scenario started to change. The big players remain, but the small players are losing market share. This is why I mentioned that we're able to gain market share, also because of the absence from this competition that has been decreasing, and also because of our more aggressive sales policy. We're able to win market share in most of the cities we're present. Now, the challenge is to make this market share to consolidate at a higher level, to take the company to another level of growth. So this is, in our mind, is a strategy we're tackling now. So the new entrants that we see, basically, there are companies that are having their IPOs now, but it's a big concentration in the São Paulo and Rio de Janeiro markets mainly, which doesn't affect us so much, especially because the new entrants are highly focused on middle and high income. There are very little people focused on our core business, and they're highly concentrated geographically, especially in São Paulo. So we don't see that this is a factor that could have a negative effect to us. What we see in the next 3 months is a window of opportunity that's been opened for us to grow, increasing our market share that is very much in line with this pricing strategy we're implementing. Regarding your Other question. Yes, ROI is on our minds all the time. And you mentioned the gross margin, but there are other opportunities we're pursuing. One of them you mentioned with the sales of our supplier, the level we see now, and we our challenges to maintain it. Maybe this is an opportunity as well to accelerate the entire business cycle, starting construction earlier and finishing the whole development in a shorter period, and having Caixa as a partner. So this is the main leverage. We're working on receivables, but this is not mature yet, but we're working on that front as well, and we can have some gain from there. But this is in our radar. But differently from our the conference call we had 3 months ago, today we have another opportunity because MRV is able to exit the crisis better than it started. And so the crisis is not finished yet, but we see opportunities for that to happen again, either increasing prices or market share, which will be in line with the strategy we created many years ago. Multi-funding. If the person makes 2,000 reais a month or 10,000 reais a month, they can enter the company and have a product for them. So that's a strategy that started many years ago, and that's now becoming real in the during this crisis. So this is starting to become true now. Okay? Okay, great. Thank you very much, Fisher. Marcelo Mota has a question. Good morning. My question is about the digital initiatives. You mentioned in the beginning that you have 100 million invested this year. Could you talk a bit more about it? What are the main investments? Where are the gains we should expect in the long run after the pandemic? Any impact on cost or EBITDA margin? Could you please talk a bit more about that? Thank you. Good morning, Marcelo. This is Rafael Menin speaking. The digital investment, of course, it has a relationship with efficiency. Part of that is being targeted to that automation of processes, and there's a lot of good things going on. But a good portion of this investment is targeted towards new business opportunities, Marcelo. As Eduardo mentioned, we are creating a housing ecosystem. The customer will continue to make business with us in our platform for many years. It's a completely different model from the traditional real estate in which the customer buys the product, has the keys, and the relationship ends. What we're creating, in our opinion, is a unique model in the industry. We've searched for solutions worldwide, and we didn't see anything similar to what we are creating here. It will be an ecosystem in which the customer will continue to have a business relationship with us, with the group, for many years, either selling the apartment within our platform, multiple business solutions that would be created with this digital endeavor. We cannot open more now because this is an important strategy for the company, so we can't give you more details. But today we are now creating products that are highly innovative. We have almost 400 people working on our digital agenda. So there are a lot of solutions, very interesting ones that will be launched in the coming quarters. And we know that this agenda has a beginning, but doesn't have an end. It's an ongoing strategy. There is a cost in the cash flow and all that, and in the financial statements, but we are sure they will have a strong return on it in the future. We're preparing the company for a new business model in terms of its operations, for another level of growth. So it's a very interesting, a totally new solution for housing in Brazil. I cannot give you any more color than to that because it's a strategic decision for us. But it will make MRV a completely different company from what exists in the market. When we'll have the announcements and the launches along the year. In 2021, there will be a completely different product, or is it a gradual process? Just for us to understand, is it in the short, middle run, or is there many initiatives distributed a long time? Marcelo, we're talking about many initiatives. Of course, some are more disruptive, others are more developmental, as an evolution of our process. But I would say that the concentration will be mostly next year, but there are very interesting things that the company will provide to its customers and prospects in the next quarters. Okay, thank you. The next question comes from Igor Altero from Santander. Good morning. Thank you for the call. First, questions about dividends. The company's been quite resilient despite the pandemic in terms of sales. So I would like to understand, what are you thinking about paying dividends? And the second question I'll ask after that. Thank you. Igor, this is Ricardo speaking. Well, first question about dividends. We started the year thinking about paying 50% in dividends, and then the crisis started, the pandemic. We reduced that. We're thinking about 25% of last year's profit. But now, since we see the demand is quite resilient and the strategy is working well, the cash flow is strong, I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the year we'll pay more than the minimum mandatory dividend. Okay, thank you. And the second question, in terms of competition, there are smaller players, and there has been a clear gain for you in market share. So how do you see the positioning of these competitors now? Do they have capital to go through this crisis? Do you believe you'll continue to gain market share from these players? And on the other hand, restrictions for Caixa and the federal banks that because they want to give priority to the small players. Okay, starting on the second question. Yes, we see that Caixa has a concern to have more and more formal players operating in this industry because it's much better for them in the future. They know how the development was pre-made and performed. They keep track of our project since the beginning, the project, and they make monthly visits to the construction site. So they are much more confident in terms of the value of the project and reducing any loss due to default they may have in the future if they have to get the mortgage and due to non-payment. In terms of competition, we have competition at several levels. MRV has increased its volumes, and the granting of credit facilities linked to FGTS has dropped. So we see the gain of market share. This is how we measure it. But looking at visits on market research, we also observe that the smaller players, I wouldn't say only the small, the teeny tiny ones, the ants, so to speak, but there's some slightly higher or bigger players that depend on physical shops to make their sales on real estate agents. So they are more stressed during these periods because they don't have the tools to make this sale possible. From the cash point of view, they're suffering because it's much higher for them to have access to the capital markets. They are more indebted. So what we can see that maybe in the next year and a half, competition will be slightly lower. But this is a profitable business, of course. So towards the future, competition will increase more than we have now. And we are prepared for that. Okay, thank you. The next question comes from Andrea Mazzini from Citibank. Good morning, Rafa. Thank you for the call. First question is about the partnership you made with Allianz in Parque Shopping Maceió. Is that an SBPE or logo? Could we expect more partnerships with the shopping malls players? Because these multi-use malls is something that would be an interesting strategy. And the second point is about the grace periods that the Caixa has given, and 6 or 8 months in which the owner doesn't have to pay for the loan facility. Do you think that could reduce the default levels? Have you had any previous experience in Brazil? In the United States, there was a Caesar raid, and it didn't work well. Of course, we cannot compare to the States, because there the buyer could use the loan and invest in several different properties. And this is different in Brazil, it's a single property. So the question is if you have any experience with similar benefits in Brazil, or if you have any experience in terms of default and what will happen. Okay, and André, good morning. Thank you for your question. Let's talk about the opportunities that arise around the shopping malls. Yes, we are indeed negotiating. In Maceió, we bought two lands, and we're going to launch two SBPE lines. One will be a more compact one, and the other one will be a bit more expensive. We're talking about apartments between 250 and 350,000 reais. It's a great location, close to the ocean, and the price is quite competitive for the location. We also closed a Luggo product almost inside the mall, and we're negotiating three or four plots of land with the same characteristics. So the answer is yes. What we see today is that the malls are changing, the retail is changing a lot. Parking lots, for example, that used to be essential, strategic to the malls, today is not so important. So there is extra space in some malls. So we may increase that area, especially that area of operation, especially with Luggo, especially in developments connected to malls, because this is very nice and it may increase in traction in coming months. Regarding the grace period of Caixa, what we see is that few customers are using it. When we saw the news, we thought that everybody would use that benefit, but this is not happening when a small percentage of customers has used that. I don't have the exact number, but Kaká can give you the figures in terms of percentage. But the important point here, André, is that this sanitary crisis caused people to stay home much more, and the home became much more important for people, for the families. So many of our customers live in a not so comfortable conditions, and therefore they understood that it makes sense to allot more money or invest more in the quality of living, and therefore a property is a key for the family to be well located with leisure opportunities and a good location. So homes, the tradition of owning a home in Brazil has always been a dream. And now it's been become even more important because this COVID crisis that is here to stay caused the home to become ever more important for people. And we know that the Brazilian economy allows for the market to grow at in every levels of income. And since the interest rate will be at adequate levels, we expect the real estate market to grow a lot in coming years. I think that this year has been complicated, but now it's a bit better than expected. But for the future, we have an interesting macroeconomic and microeconomic agenda going on. There will be a lot of private investments in the future, and the government will make a fiscal effort not to allow inflation to go back to grow again in the country. So interest rates are at a good level, inflations are being under control, so I believe that investments will increase in Brazil and housing investments will double in coming years in Brazil, undoubtedly. So this is how we see the market, this is how we think things will happen, and if this becomes true, we'll have a very interesting market for many years to come. And those that do a good job in terms of a geographic location and positioning will be able to profit from this market growth. This is very clear, Rafa. Thank you very much. I would like to remind you that if you have a question, please press star 1. The next question is from Cristiane Francis from Safra. Good morning. The funding from the government for My House, My Life has shown has proved insufficient in September, October. And therefore the industry is not so predictable. The sales in that segment are doing fine. But what are the prospects for lack of funding in 2020? And what would be the possible solutions to that? Thank you. Cristiane, this is Fischer speaking. How are you? As Rafael said in the previous question about the importance of housing industry and how this market addresses major social issues we have in the country. So all the government administrations see that. What we see today in the interactions with the government and the FGTS is the funding must be maintained so that the program won't suffer because it addresses the main difficulties of society, especially in the medium and large cities. So we see an alignment from the government in trying to protect the main funding because it's interesting for MCMV. Also, as we have a macroeconomic scenario that's more balanced, that's the effort we're doing now, and that reflects in an interest rate that is low in the long run, then you remove pressure from the FGTS, the guarantee fund. And we see that from our customers because many of our customers that initially buy to using their FGTS in the transfer, they can now use savings because that is even more competitive at the higher levels of MCMV that don't have this subsidy. So that removes the pressure from the funding more directed towards low-income families. That's how we see that. Of course, this is always a source of concern. But the feedback we're having from other parties related, FGTS and the government included, is a common understanding that the funding must be preserved so that it continues to play the role for which it was created, that is to support housing policy. Okay, thank you for your answer. The Q&A session has now ended. For the final comments, I would like to turn the floor over to the CEO, Mr. Eduardo Fischer. Well, thank you. I believe we have covered everything regarding operational aspects of MRV, especially what's going on now and how we responded, and we responded well to the pandemic. I would just like to go over one point that we didn't talk about, and there was a good disclosure in our release regarding ESG. Two things are happening during this pandemic. My digital migration much faster. The companies are digitally accelerated in an unthinkable way. But the same is going on with the ESG topic. Here at the company, we see that people, investors and shareholders are requesting that. And this won't change. So this is a way for us to show what we have been building on this topic in the last 20 to 30 years. Rafael talked about our commitment to society. We quickly responded, helping society to provide support in providing food and health, especially in the towns we're present. But there's a lot more than that going on in the company. We have a vice president exclusively for ESG for 2 or 3 years now. We are part from the sustainability index of the Stock Exchange of Brazil. We're now increasing the number of photovoltaic solar panels to decrease the carbon footprint. We offset the carbon use in the company. So there are many steps we've taken that now that this topic has been accelerated, we can show that we're doing well on that topic. So we are proud of that, but also this is an opportunity for us to exercise our responsibility regarding ESG that applies to the other companies of the group, as well as to MRV, our volunteer work projects, our donation projects. A lot, we're doing a lot in that area. And we wanted to give that disclosure in the opening. This topic has become very important in the company. This has become a strategic topic in all the companies, and I don't see a change in that. And we're doing fine regarding that topic, and we'll invest even more in that. It's just to close, ESG is a topic that we are a benchmark in the industry, and we want to be a benchmark in that, in the market in general. And we did well considering the moment we're going through. Thank you all very much. We see you in the next call. The conference call of MRV has now ended. We thank you all for attending and have a good day.